The talk this morning is titled Walking with Jesus. And the passage that we've had read for us follows on, obviously, from what we looked at last Sunday with Easter Sunday. It's the very next part in Luke's Gospel. In fact, we're in the same chapter still. But as we come to that, I wanted to ask you a question about what it is that you think when you hear the word community. What is it that community means to you? Community has been something that churches have, for quite some time, highlighted and raised the profile of and wanted to be. Community has been a word that has been used around churches for quite some time. We look back to the church that was in Acts, the very early church, and we often use the term community. The interesting thing is that in this day and age, I think our understanding of community is a lot less than what it has been at other times, especially for Christian community, for the early church. And the great thing about our passage today, very different to what happened on that road to Emmaus with the two disciples and with Jesus. I want to read to you some quotes about Christian community. One is by a lady called Rose May Doherty. And she says this: unfortunately today, because there is so much isolation and loneliness — it's very tempting to think she wrote this in the last month, but she didn't — people often get confused about what they are looking for in Christian community. They're unable to discriminate between the companionship of interested people and the community of people who can help them seek God. Spiritual community makes real our seeking and supports us in that seeking. So just notice there that what Rose May Doherty highlights is that often we think of community as, or understand it simply as, a group of people who have similar interests. And there's a companionship there, and that's a good thing, it's not a bad thing. But that is actually where it is limited. And yet she wants to highlight that spiritual community should be so much more. Spiritual community should be about helping one another seek God. And that doesn't just happen because people come together. There's actually a purposefulness in that. The next quote that I want to share with you is from a very famous Christian writer, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who said that Christian community is not an ideal which we must realize. It is rather a reality created by God in Christ in which we may participate. In other words, Christian community is something that we step into, but it's actually God who is in some ways generating that reality. It's a reality created by God in Christ in which we, according to Bonhoeffer, participate. So Rose May Doherty is saying that it's more than just companionship and similar interested people. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wants to say that it's actually something that God is doing within a group of people. And I want to finish with a third quote, which is from Ruth Haley Barton, which says, transforming community is defined as men and women gathered around the presence of Christ in order to be transformed in Christ's presence so they can discern and do the will of God. And so she says something different again. For her, the definition of transforming community or spiritual community is that it will be people who gather around the presence of Jesus with the purpose of being transformed in his presence, so they can discern and do the will of God. So they can become more Christ-like, they can become a better disciple, if you like, however you want to like it. That's what's happening. It's gathering around Christ together in order to have that happen. And so if we look at those three quotes, we get a very rich understanding of what Christian community should look like, what it should look like to be a part of the transforming community of Jesus. It needs to be a community that helps you seek God. That's the first definition in a nutshell. It needs to be a reality found in Christ in which we participate. And thirdly, it's when the purpose is to know and to do God's will. So it's about seeking God. It's about something that Christ does in us. It's about being changed by Christ to do God's will. So, Let's have a look at the passage. As we have seen from last week, Jesus has risen. The women were told by the two men. They went and told the other disciples. The other disciples did not believe them, and we understand that Peter went away wondering. Then we're told that that same day, two of the disciples start the walk to Emmaus. They're on the road to Emmaus. Notice that it's the same day. This is the same day. It's the Sunday. We actually haven't moved in the passage here from last Sunday, Easter Sunday. As they're walking along, they seem to be processing the situation. There is a sense in which the two of them, as they're walking along, they're being community. They're together. They're sharing information with each other. They have a common interest that they are talking about. So they're a community. But then notice what happens. Jesus joins them. And now suddenly, according to one of the definitions we've looked at of spiritual or Christian community, suddenly they're a transforming community. Why? Because Jesus has joined them. And this whole passage is about transforming community in action. We can actually look at Jesus and these two disciples and we learn some things that are good things to take into Christian community. The first one is the way Jesus responds to the two disciples. And that is, my first point is that Jesus quite simply listens. Notice what happens. Jesus approaches them and he says, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" And there's a sense in which they seem quite amazed that somebody has not heard about the things that have been happening. And so they say to Jesus, "Haven't you heard about what's been happening, these things?" And Jesus then asks a question, which is one of those questions that sometimes you hear Jesus ask and you just think, I just love the way Jesus asked that. Everything that they're talking about was about him. Everything that they're talking about was concerning what had happened to him. And Jesus seems to know what is on people's hearts and what people are talking about. And yet he still asks them when they say, "Haven't you heard about the things that have happened?" He still asks, "What things?" It's this beautiful moment where Jesus simply listens. Jesus knows the answers. He knows what they're talking about. He knows certainly better than anybody else what the things are that they're talking about. And yet he just listens. A part of Christian community, a part of a transforming community, is that it is a community that listens to each other. Ruth Haley Barton, in talking about this passage, says that Jesus models the ability to simply listen and be with what is, without having to fix, give advice, or problem solve. Notice that Jesus just sits and listens, or doesn't sit, he walks and listens with them. He's willing to be with them in that moment as they express how they're feeling. Last week we looked at the idea that the disciples had gone through so much in this little period of time. Jesus now spends time just listening. Christian community listens. The second thing is that then Jesus does speak, but it's what he says that is so amazing and so helpful. It actually seems a little bit harsh as we look at it, because he begins by saying, "How foolish you are." He says, "Did not the Christ have to suffer these things?" And so this ongoing thing that we've had leading up to the cross, and now as we come from the cross to Jesus' resurrection, this idea that the disciples did not want Jesus to go and die on the cross. They didn't want him to suffer these things. And now, we've had, as we looked at last week, the ladies come to the tomb, and the two men who met them there say, Jesus said that these things had to happen, that the Christ had to suffer. And now Jesus, after listening, says, "Guys, have you really not gotten this yet? That the Christ, the Messiah, actually had to suffer these things." The question that comes to my mind at this point is, when are these people going to lay down their own agenda and pick up God's agenda? That's the reason for Jesus speaking at this point. Now, Jesus wants to highlight there's actually a meaning in the madness of everything that has happened. Jesus wants to point them to what God is doing, and that's why he speaks. Once again, Ruth Haley Barton, speaking on this passage, says, "To those who had experienced the weekend's traumatizing events, Jesus was pointing out that they were not merely witnesses to a terrible injustice, they were actually witnessing the great saving act of God accomplished in and through Jesus' suffering and the sacrifice of his life. So Jesus speaks, but very purposefully. Jesus speaks to point others to what it is that God is doing. And so a Christian community listens to one another, but also when they speak towards what God is doing. They point out to each other what it is that Christ is doing in others. So Jesus speaks, and when he speaks, it's important to look at what it is that he says, because he brings truth to the situation. These two disciples were very confused, and they were upset, traumatized, as Ruth Haley Barton suggests. And Jesus comes and brings truth to their situation and what they're talking about. He helps them bring perspective to it. This may not be what you wanted, but it's what God wanted. Jesus brings lessons that need to be learnt at this point. He also brings priorities, new priorities. It's, can't you see, can't you understand that the Christ had to suffer these things? It even means that the Christ, Jesus himself, put the priorities of the Father and our priorities over and above his own. It talks to motivations. It talks to self-awareness. It talks to humility. Father Thomas Keating said, "The spiritual journey is not a career or a success story. It's a series of small humiliations of the false self that become more and more profound. And these make room inside us for the Holy Spirit to come and to heal." When Jesus speaks to these guys, he speaks honestly and openly and points to what it is that God is doing, brings truth into the situation, and it's a little bit of a rebuke for them because their priorities had not been God's priorities. They were not seeing things God's way, and so therefore it brings a moment for humility for these two disciples. Will they be humble enough to recognize that they have been wrong with their assumptions? And so what Thomas Keating says, the spiritual journey is not a career or a success story. It's a series of small humiliations of the false self. It's this idea that we realize that we're a bit like an onion, and that we've got these layers. And that one of the things about the spiritual journey is that we realize the falseness of the outer layer. We realize that we're wrong. We realize our assumptions aren't correct. And we take rebuke and we adjust ourselves and we rid ourselves of that outer layer. But being an onion, there is another layer underneath. And the spiritual journey is not a career or a success story, but it's a series of humiliations as layer upon layer is stripped away. That's one of the things that happens in Christian community as we speak truth to each other. So Jesus listens, he speaks truth, and then finally he transforms. The two disciples invite Jesus to remain with them, which is pretty amazing because at this time they don't recognize him as Jesus and they've only just met him earlier in the day. But as they've walked, something has gone on in their hearts. I think that if you spend time with Jesus, there is certainly a difference that would make in your soul. Being with somebody like that who listens and when he speaks, speaks truth. And so the two disciples invite Jesus to remain with him, and he agrees. And this brings about more transformation. Because it says that as he ate with them, he went to break the bread, and it says, then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And then they said to each other, because Jesus disappears at that point, they say, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked? They invited him in. And there's a transformation that takes place. You could say there's a transformation in Jesus. Suddenly Jesus appears to them as Jesus, but it doesn't say that. It's almost like something within them shifts at that point. And their eyes are open. That's what it says. Their eyes are open and they recognize him. Something is transformed within them. So in Christian community, Jesus listens, he speaks the truth, and people are changed. Henry Nouwen, writing on this very passage as well, says this: "I have many memories of encounters with people who made my heart burn, but whom I did not invite into my home. Sometimes this happens as a long plane trip, sometimes in a train, sometimes at a party. Afterwards, I say to my friends, let me tell you whom I met today, a quite fascinating person. He said things so remarkable that I couldn't believe what I heard. I wish you could have met him, but he went on to, I don't know where. Interesting, stimulating, and inspiring as all these strangers may be, Henry Nouwen writes, when I do not invite them into my home, nothing truly happens. Only with an invitation to come and stay with me can an interesting encounter develop into a transforming relationship. At some point in Christian community, those of us who are in Christian community need to invite Jesus in. Remember one of the definitions that we looked at of what Christian community is. It's gathering around Jesus. At some point, for it to be a different community, Jesus needs to be included, because when Jesus is near, people around him change. We're told in the passage that when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. There's this really interesting thing that happens in this third section that we're looking at where Jesus transformed. Jesus actually takes over the meal. Jesus has just been invited in by people who don't seem to know him, and invited to partake in a meal, and he actually takes over. He's the one who breaks the bread. He's the one who blesses the meal. But this actually reflects the truth of Christian community. The reality that Jesus in a Christian community is guiding, controlling, sustaining our journey together. He is the one who is directing what is happening, what we do, when we do it. And when that happens, people are transformed. So my question for you this morning is whether or not you would like to be part of a transforming community. Now, it might seem like that's an odd question to ask while you're watching this at home, possibly by yourself on DVD or CD listening to it, or on the internet. And yet it's still something that we can do and be a part of and partake in now. Do we want to be men and women gathered around the presence of Christ in order to be transformed in Christ's presence so we can discern and do the will of God? The question is, will we speak to Jesus? Will we listen to him? Will we be transformed by him as we hand over control of our lives and our community to him? It's actually that simple. How is it that you can do it now? One of the great things is that during this time, a lot of us have been ringing each other, sending each other messages, and that's a great thing to do. And as I said right at the beginning when we looked at what community was, it can be a group of companions, of interested people. It's also good to take it to the next level. Take the opportunity to pray with one another when you ring. Take the opportunity to ask each other how we're each going with our Bible readings, our time with God, whether we have had the opportunity in the past week to be still and be quiet in God's presence. Maybe take the opportunity to ask each other what it is that we've learned about God, or maybe some change or difference that has happened or occurred in our walk with God over the last little while. Because it's those things, it's that intentionality of gathering around Christ, of listening to him when he speaks, and allowing him to direct and guide who it is and what we do, that our community becomes a transforming spiritual community. Why don't I pray for us? Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for what it is that you've done in Jesus. We thank you for this passage, the road to Emmaus. We thank you for the opportunity to think about Jesus' interaction with these two disciples. Lord, we especially pray for our church at this time. Lord, help us to be a community of people who are not simply just sharing a similar interest. Help us to be deeper than that with one another. Lord, help us to be purposeful and intentional. Lord, help us to encourage one another with where we are in our walk. Lord, help us to listen to you as you listen to us. Help us be changed and transformed by handing over the reins, not just to our lives, but to our community as well, and what it is that we do together. Lord, we ask for these things so that we might grow in our love for you, that we might be able to encourage others in their love for you, And ultimately, Lord, because we want you to be glorified. And we know that we're talking about a community here that we can't manufacture. It's one that happens because you're involved in it. And so therefore, it's you that gets the glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.